Looking at the data through the past week out of the US, and the key ones, of course, were the inflation readings. And this really is a bit of a challenge to the central bank thesis that inflation is temporary. We had producer prices came out. This is for October. And whilst they were just about in line with market expectations, there's still a lot of inflation in the pipeline. So the October PPI was up 0.6%. That was relative to 0.5% the month before. The annual rate of change stayed at 8.6% year on year. The core PPI, taking out many of the volatile items and some of the temporary items, was still up 0.4% month on month, and that kept the annual rate at 6.8%, same as the month before. It was the October CPI in the US, though, that really raised a few eyebrows, and they had a pretty high expectation on this of 0.6% month on month. It came in at 0.9%. And as a result of that, the annual inflation rate has now gone up to 6.2% year on year from 5.4%. This is just a country mile away from the Fed's target of 2%. The Fed, we heard from the Fed during the week, from several speakers, still trying to maintain, just wait, this will come back. Some of the pressure points are going to reduce. But even the core CPI was way above expectation too, 0.6%. So we've gone to 4.6% year on year from 4% going back the month before. These pressure points I don't think are going away. It's blindingly obvious, really, that when you aim for high inflation, you get it. And when I say aim for it, you've got government policy, which obviously is still spending a great deal of money in the recovery phase. And obviously we've got the infrastructure bill went through a short while back. We've got the social infrastructure bill that's probably going to go through this week. That's another $4 trillion of government spending. At the same time, as the Fed is saying, we're still going to be very, very delayed in terms of reducing extremely easy monetary conditions. You're going to get inflation off the back of it, and that's exactly what we're getting, and it ain't going to be temporary. And so this is one of the factors which over time we're going to see obviously sort of interest rates rising on the back of this. Some other indications, last week, we had initial jobless claims the most recent week. These are down at virtually a low point, 267,000 from 271,000. So, the labour market there is pretty tight as well. We did get a bit of a pullback in Michigan consumer sentiment. So in November, that did come back to 66.8 from 71.7. I doubt whether it's going to stay down there, though. I think, if anything, we're going to get something of a rebound coming off. This week in the US, we get quite a deal of data coming through looking at economic activity, a lot of lead indicators and also some of the coincident ones. So on the lead indicator side, we've got two of the regional manufacturing indicators from New York State and also from Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Fed survey. They're both going to hold pretty elevated levels, we think. The Empire State Survey or the New York State Survey is out tonight for the month of November. That looks as if it'll probably lift to 21.6 from 19.8. The Philadelphia Fed Survey that comes out later in the week on Thursday, that one probably is going to come in round about the 24 mark. It was at 23.8 going back the month before. These are very strong readings. We also get the November National Association of Home Builders Index. That jumped last month from 76 to 80. It's expected to hold at around the 80 level. On the coincident indicators, we've got retail sales coming out. This is expected to lift. It showed a rise of 0.7% month on month in September. Expected to rise around 1.1% for the month of October. And core retail sales running around 0.8%, same as the month before. So strong retail sales running through. We also get October industrial production coming out. That's expected to lift around about 0.7%. And we get some housing indicators apart from the NAHB. That's both October housing starts and also permits coming out. Again, both expected to be pretty strong. October housing starts expect to rise 1.6%, permits up about 2.8%. And we also get some import price data. And, of course, this is still very, very elevated. Going back to September, there's a 0.4% lift in import prices into the United States. That's expected to rise to 1% month on month. And part of the reason for that is some of the producer price readings we're getting in other places overseas, and I'll mention some of those, or at least one important one in a report on China. But all told, the US, it's a picture of from time to time the market accepts what the Fed's saying, and so this is still giving a lift to risk assets, and the underlying force for risk assets of all forms in the United States are that you've got very strong economic activity running with policy still very much supporting it, both from government spending and also from monetary policy. So if you're a company, you're getting volume growth. You don't have to be much of a company to be able to get huge volume growth running through your sales at the moment in the United States. And on top of that, you can reprice that upwards almost with impunity because of the policy prescription. So until you actually get stopped by policy, you're going to be generating profits like there's no tomorrow, and you can be in pretty good condition. The only problem is at some point, interest rates will rise and will take the top off this, but it's still a fair way down the track on the way that the Fed's reading at the moment. And of course, we should expect the bond market from time to time to strain upwards in yield. When it does come back, it will be temporary, you expect it to base before it takes lurches to a higher level at some point in the future. In terms of China last week, we had both the CPI came out and also producer prices. As far as the CPI is concerned, this lifted quite a bit. It has been low in China. It's one of the lower countries for the CPI. It was at only 0.7% year-on-year going back to September. That lifted to 1.5% year-on-year for the most recent reading. That would still be low by most other country standards. But it's their producer prices which are really starting to concern. These were running at 10.7% year-on-year. Going back to the month of September, they were expected to lift to 12%. They lifted to 13.5% year on year. Remembering that, for much of the stuff that the world wants to buy a lot of in the wake of the later stages of the pandemic, which is still largely goods over services, China's still by far the world's largest producer of those goods. And factory gate prices elevating at 13.5% year on year and rising fast. That's where there's nothing temporary about what's coming through in terms of in the pipeline for some of this price pressure for many other countries. This week in China, today we get a lot of the regular data coming out. And China's actually coming back because of several things. It's becoming quite aggressive, attacking quite a surge in COVID cases in many places in China at the moment. So they are locking down quite a bit. On top of that, President Xi looking at towards the approaching People's Congress meeting and his new policies of trying to show that it's a more equal country in China than the rest of the world, still battening down on the property sector in China and many other things. And this is showing in some of the economic indicators. So we've got October fixed asset investment, which will be down, we think, to about 6.2% year on year from 7.3% going back to September. We've got industrial production, which will come back to 3% from 3.1% year on year. And we've got retail sales, which will probably come back to about 3.5% from 4.4%. So we have got this folding back of economic activity as far as China is concerned, and that's likely to continue. In Australia last week, and we had a number of indicators. The leading indicators are now pointing up strongly, and this is the recovery phase from the lockdowns that we had in New South Wales and also in Victoria. So we had the NAB Business Conditions Survey and Business Confidence. Business conditions are expected to lift, did lift, to plus 11 from plus 5, so that's a strong rise. Business confidence was almost back up at a record high, has gone up to plus 21 from plus 13. So clearly businesses are responding very quickly to the change in circumstances in New South Wales and Victoria. Westpac consumer sentiment had a lift. This is a November reading, went up to plus 0.6%. It was down 1.5% the month before. The labour force data, still reflecting the late stages of the lockdown, so we had a weaker than expected employment growth in October, minus 46,300, after being down 138,000 the month before. Participation rate, though, is starting to lift, so people are starting to get more optimistic about getting back into jobs. And the unemployment rate went up from 4.6% to 5.2%. These are going to be very, very brief moves now, because when we get the November labour force data and December labour force data, we'll get the full force of New South Wales and Victoria coming back on stream again. So we should expect some pretty spectacular employment numbers for November and December. So, and with it, the unemployment rate starting to come back down again very, very sharply. So that pressure point starting to come back into the labour market. This week in Australia, we have the RBA minutes at the last meeting. This is the one where, you know, basically the Reserve Bank changed its spots a little bit, you know, sort of it abandoned its three-year bond target. At the same time, that old wording of the cash rate not going up before 2024 changed to the board being patient and the possibility of the cash rate going up in 2023, depending on whether things came out stronger than the RBA expects. So, yeah, there was a bit of a change running through the RBA, and we may get a little bit more colour about discussion that went on in those minutes. We also have Reserve Bank Governor speaking on Tuesday. He's speaking about trends in inflation, which will be an interesting, because at the moment they're very much in the camp of nothing to look at here, it's all temporary. Yeah, we've got special factors operating in Australia which will keep our inflation down, even though it's going up everywhere else around the world. It just doesn't ring true. And so it'd be interesting just to read that. On Wednesday, we get the third quarter wage price index coming out. And wages are a key influence for the Reserve Bank now. What they're saying is we're going to let policy continue to support growth until we get wages growth up above 3%, which should be consistent with inflation staying above 3%. My view about that is inflation's already above 3%. And it won't take wages to keep it up there. And eventually wages will follow. So they're looking at the wrong lead indicator for inflation. But yeah, they're not going to change off that for a little while yet. And so and the wage price index was only 1.7% year on year going back to Q2. It will lift with this one. So the market thinks that the quarterly change will be 0.5%. That would lift the annual change to 2.2% from 1.7%. Over the next couple of quarters, we'll have no trouble getting up to 3% very quickly over the next couple of quarters. So, yeah, even on the wage price index, the Reserve Bank's going to have a lot of thinking to do about rates by the time it gets towards the middle part of 2022. Yeah, just watching to see, you know, how those developments run. Finally, moving to Europe and the European data. Last week, we had a couple of lead indicators, both stronger. You know, the European economy is coming through this pretty well now. You know, they got one or two areas where, with winter coming on, you know, they're having to worry about COVID again, because they've had a little bit of a COVID surge running through some of those countries. But they're not responding with particularly drastic measures to contain that. So we've still got policy which is very supportive for European growth looking ahead. And we had Centix investor confidence came out last week. It was at 16.9 going back the previous month. It was expected to actually fade a little bit to 15.5. It didn't. It went up to 18.3. That's a very strong reading for that indicator. We had the ZEW economic sentiment survey for November. It was at 21, which was a very elevated reading going back to October. It was expected to fade to perhaps 20. It didn't. It went up to 25.9. Really strong reading, indicating strong growth ahead. We had September industrial production too, which was expected to come back a bit because of supply chain difficulties in Europe and issues with power. It was expected to be down 0.5%. It was down less than that, down 0.2%. In Europe this week, we'll have some trade data and revised Q3 GDP. There won't be any real revision, we think, to Q3 GDP. It's looking pretty good. It's on the first look at Q3 GDP, it was at 2.2% quarter-on-quarter, 3.7% year-on-year. No change expected from that. It'll still be 2.2%, we think, 3.7% year-on-year. So the recovery in Europe was already entrenched in Q3 and should get better in Q4. We also get some trade data coming out and expecting to see trade actually improve too. Even though they're highly constrained in terms of output at the moment, the supply chain problems in Europe have actually got considerably worse over the past month in many, many aspects. So it's pretty hard to keep factories running. But they still expect to have a pretty good export run. And so if anything, the trade surplus will lift from 4.8 billion euro positive to around about 6.5. Watching all the bits and pieces that are running around the world at the moment. But the one point which is in focus at the moment and will stay in increasing focus, I think, particularly for interest rate markets, is that central banks, what they say about inflation, is looking increasingly like a bit of a fairy tale. The question is, at what point do they change their spots and move away from being reactive on inflation to saying, look, we're not being reactive on inflation. We've actually got a big stick at the moment. We've stuck it in a wasp's nest. We've stirred it up. And they shouldn't be surprised if they get horribly stung. And that's the way that things are starting to look at the moment. And, of course, the bond market's getting a scent of that from time to time and is pushing yields up.